He also sets himself against a very important trend in the 16th century called iconoclasm, word for breaking up images, right? There's a whole wing of the Reformation which destroys statues in churches, breaks stained glass, paints over paintings on the walls of churches. Luther says, what's the problem here, right? So long as no one's worshiping these images, you can leave them alone, right? The images are not idols. It's okay to have them in church. So Lutheran churches can have statues and stained glass and so on, just like Catholic churches, as opposed to most Calvinist churches where you have whitewashed walls and no images of any kind. Luther's not a Puritan, right? You don't have to get rid of all this stuff. You don't have to break stuff up, right? Let's get away from this violence of breaking images, breaking glass, painting stuff over, and so on. Another thing that happens in Wittenberg, the clergy start getting married, right? Luther's already been mentioning this in the appeal to the German nobility. So he has no objection whatsoever for priests to get married. He encourages it. And that, of course, also serves to erase that deep gulf between clergy and laity, which Luther thinks is illegitimate, right? All Christians are priests, so everyone can get married, including Christian priests. The real issue, actually, the real difficult issue is monastic vows, right? The celibacy of monks, because unlike ordinary priests, monks have promised in a solemn vow to be celibate. And Melanchthon and Karlstadt both try to figure out what to say about this. Could we say that if a monk really can't sort of restrain himself, that he's sort of allowed to sort of, you can let him off the hook and let him get married, because really it's just inhuman to require him to try to keep his vows? You know, what are the circumstances under which you can let a monk sort of get out of his vows? Luther says, no, this is too complicated. This is too much back and forth. Remember how Luther likes to simplify things, right? None of this back and forth with the Pope. He's Antichrist, forget it. Well, likewise, none of this back and forth about monastic vows. When do you have to keep them? When do you not? When you make a vow, you got to keep it. You make a promise, you should keep it. But it has to be a legitimate promise, right? Under the law, for instance, if you take out a contract on someone to murder someone, right, and you've agreed to murder someone, that's not a valid contract, right? You can promise to murder someone, but you are not obligated to keep that promise. So invalid promises you don't have to keep. And Luther's approach is to say, monastic vows are not valid promises. They're not valid. They're never, ever obligatory. No one has a right to make monastic vows, just like no one has a right to make a promise to kill someone. So he sort of gets rid of the whole thing. You know, the process of cutting the Gordian knot. Let's not untie this thing strand by strand. Let's just slice it through. All monastic vows are illegitimate. Why? Because they violate the logic of Christian freedom. They basically make something required which is not required by the gospel, right? You can do stuff that's not required by the gospel, but you can't make things required that aren't required by the gospel. These monastic vows require someone to do something, sort of get engaged in this spiritual life, this celibate life, in a way that the gospel does not require. They're making their own requirements. This is, again, this notion of human doctrine, self-chosen works. Those are illegitimate, right? If you want to be celibate, you can be celibate. People can be celibate. That's okay. But to make a vow out of it, to make it into your spiritual life as if this makes you acceptable to God because you're a better person because you've made this vow, you're a monk, you're spiritually superior, that's offensive to the gospel. That's offensive to the whole logic of the gospel, where there's no justification by good works. There's no justification by our spirituality. It's all just receiving Christ's gift. So monastic vows are illegitimate. Get rid of them. That is a huge book. It's a book he writes called The Judgment of Martin Luther on Monastic Vows. It drops like a bombshell, because what ends up happening is monks start leaving the monastery in droves. There's a whole lot of monks who became monks when they were kids. Their families sent them to the monastery. They didn't really have much choice about these vows. They're really glad to get out of them. So the monasteries start emptying, and this is a huge social change because, as I mentioned, monasteries are wealthy. There's a lot of money in monasteries, and all of a sudden, they're dissolving. Another consequence of this attack on monastic vows is that Martin Luther, the monk, gets married. Who would have thunk it? As Luther said at one point, reminiscing many years later, "I am the son of a peasant, and grandson and great-grandson. My father became a miner, and he wanted me to become mayor. Instead, I became a monk and got the master's and doctor's degrees. My father didn't like it. Then I got into the Pope's hair and married a renegade nun." Who could have read that in the stars? Who would have thunk it?